You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we've got racing from Newbury, Nottingham, Worcester, Haydock, Uttoxeter and the Irish fixture from Leopardstown to enjoy. And you'll hear every race live, of course, on Thursday with Sean Quinn, Chris Pimlott and Paddy Aspall in the William Hill Racing Radio Studio. But for now, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on the podcast ahead of Thursday is Mr. James Millman to take a look at some of the action. How are you, James?
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you, yes.
Yeah, nice racing tomorrow. Obviously a little bit quieter with Royal Ascot coming up soon. There's a little bit of a quieter week of action in between the Derby and Royal Ascot, but winners still to be found.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll take a look at some of Thursday's racing in due course. We'll start with the stories that are making the news at the moment. Obviously the big news piece that broke yesterday. Newcastle have been given the green light for the all-weather fixtures there from 2016. I did the podcast with Craig Forsyth yesterday, James, who, as you might imagine, was fairly positive on the decision. What have you made of it?
Yeah, it's not a surprise as such because the Uni just didn't get it last year with a bit of an uproar from the National Trainers Federation. A lot of Southern trainers generally were unhappy about losing Newcastle to turf track. For me, yes, it's frustrating, but Germany mostly trainers don't actually have runners there that often. It's a northern track. It will be a shame to lose a plate because they were going to try and keep the plate actually on the turf, the jump track as such, but unfortunately they've decided it's going to cost too much money to keep the race on the turf. Obviously my dad won the Northumberland plate with Sergeant Cecil back in 2005 and it'd be a very different race on a weather surface of what it is on turf, but perhaps it's time we have a big decent handicap on near weather. Ultimately, the north needs no weather. Southall's the most northern of all weather tracks. There's two options. There's Catterick and Newcastle. I think only one's going to go ahead, and it looks like Newcastle's probably the stronger option at the moment. Catterick, very, very undulating. Not going to be the easiest to put in a weather track there. Yes, it's a shame to lose Newcastle, but ultimately, for me, the turf action there has been pretty poor in recent years. Apart from the defending plate meeting, there's nothing there that really, really stands out. And ultimately, if the Southern trainers really, really, really love Newcastle, they'd be sending runners up there every single meeting, and they don't. Ultimately, some of them will argue John Gosden, etc. There's not actually races there catered for it, the class of his horse as such. But ultimately, I think it's a good thing for Northern racing. Whether it's a good thing as a whole for us to have so much weather racing, I'm not so sure. But the North needed one. I hope that Southall continues in existence, because the rumours are that by having the fixtures at Newcastle, a lot of the other ARCs fixtures will be transferred to Newcastle to obviously increase the influx of fixtures, and there will be a concern if we lose another track. Obviously we've lost Folkestone and Hereford in recent years, which is a shame, but ultimately it's the economics of racing, and ARC have got shareholders, they've got to make a profit, and this is what they see best. So I'm not as anti as some other trainers, but is racing going in the way that people want? I'm not so sure, but it's going to happen. I think it'll be interesting to see what the results are.
Okay, yeah, very interesting. As you mentioned, there's some real pros and cons, and it's split opinion,
it's
really.
It's not a black and white.
Yeah.
Yes, we should have it. No, we shouldn't have it. There's points of view on either side, and I can totally understand both points of view. But ultimately, the turf racing has been downgraded in recent seasons, and I don't think it's going to be the end of the world myself if it switches to weather.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. We'll see how that progresses, and obviously next year in 2016. We'll look ahead then to things a little bit closer in the calendar. Royal Ascot, obviously, next week, James. A couple of interesting news stories breaking over the last couple of days regarding the Prince of Wales Stakes, which looks like a really strong renewal this year. Dermot Wells confirming that Free Eagle is going to run in the race. He's 11-4 with us here at the moment. The Grey Gatsby is 7-1 next in, confirmed, well, looks almost certain that Ryan Moore is going to partner that. California Chrome in the betting as well at 8-1. Obviously just fell short of the Triple Crown last year in America. Shaping up to be a strong race, this one.
Yeah, definitely. It's a shame the old Warrior Al Kazim has picked up an injury and he's out. But obviously we've got some very useful horses aiming to run there. Three Eagles, shame we've not seen him yet this year, but I was really looking forward to him last year. Very exciting prospect, and he could well be very, very good. Greg Gatsby has confirmed that he's decent, and probably a little bit disappointing last time in Ireland, but I think that running in Dubai was pretty decent. Obviously a very useful three-year-old. Didn't really get the credit he deserved for beating Australia over in Ireland. Joseph got the blame, but it was still a great performance from Nick Greg Gatsby. And he's a horse that's been overlooked a little bit by media and fans alike. Mm. You were saying to me earlier in the studio, Kevin Ryan was up in arms that he doesn't really get the credit he deserves. But he's a very, very decent horse. Probably because he doesn't win every single time as such for a superstar. He's been a little bit overlooked, but he's been a cracking horse. And a really fascinating racing prospect, California Crone. It's going to be hard, I think, for him to transfer the very best of his dirt form onto turf. Obviously, he did win a race on turf over in America, but it's generally a lot lower grade than turf racing out there. But connections should be applauded for coming over here and trying something different. And like I say, a fascinating Royal Ascot and prospect.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else you're really looking forward to from the Royal meeting, James?
Yeah, the two-year-old had news today that another Hannon two-year-old, King of Rooks, has been purchased by Alshire Carb Racing. Obviously, Loggett Island's been purchased by Godolphin. Both of them are owned by Potensis Bloodstock. Both very impressive in their two-year-old races. I've kind of got a little bit of a guide to them because my dad's at Handy Talk, who was second to Loggett Island at Ascot and then fourth to King of Rooks in the National Stakes at Sandown. That was very impressive for me. Won by 5 lengths, King of Rooks. But obviously, Burattino, the runner-up on that occasion, he was very impressive in the Woodcot Stakes. That form for me is really, really strong at Sandown. And they may have paid a lot of money for him, but I think they've picked up a very, very decent prospect. So both horses stay with Richard Hannon, so they're happy with the deal. One in the Godolphin colours, one in the Alshire Carb colours. And it'll be very interesting to see how they progress. But for me, they're the two top two-year-olds, and I'm really looking forward to them going into Royal Ascot. But I'll say it's not far away, and really looking forward to it.
Yeah, should be a good meeting at Royal Ascot then, which kicks off next week. We'll take a look then to matters closer at hand then. Thursday's racing for you now. We've got four races to preview as ever on the podcast. And we'll start with the big race of the day, really, on Thursday from Newbury. They're 3:25. Fillies listed stakes, this one. A mile and two is the trip for this. 13 of them declared. What caught your eye?
Yeah, probably not the most competitive quality-wise, I suppose, of listed races. Actually competitive at a level as such, but the top-rated is 97 Miss Gyla, who was fourth in the Linkford Oaks trial, only fifth behind Lady of Dubai at Goodwood. Whether she's actually worth that rating, 97, is debatable, but generally there doesn't really appear to be a 100-plus horse in the race. One that was a little bit disappointing last year was Alonso, who was very impressive on her first two starts for Henry Candy and Dane O'Neill. She won at Newbury and then won a listed race at Sandown, and Henry Candy really did talk her up, which anyone that knows Henry Candy will know is very, very rare. He never really is bullish about his horses, but he was about Alan Sower, and she disappointed, really. She didn't handle soft ground only fourth at Newmarket in a Group 3, and then disappointed in the May Hill at Doncaster and only finished in 8th. She's had a fair bit of time off the track, but in a race which doesn't look the strongest, I think she's got a great chance of making a winning return if she's ready to go. Encore L'Amour was a good second to the Lady of Dubai at Goodwood on her last start. She was an okay two-year-old. She only won a maiden at Chepstow, but she wasn't disgraced in a Group 3 at Deauville. And that was a really good effort behind Lady of Dubai. Obviously, she was well beaten, beating 3 lengths, but Lady of Dubai ran a cracker to finish third in the Oaks. So she's probably got the strongest three-year-old form here on offer, Encore L'Amour, and she'll certainly be the main danger if Alan Sower isn't exactly ready to go on her first run for 272 days. Another one I quite like is a Jelly Monger at a big price, representing Dominic French Davis from a slightly smaller yard. I think the step up to a mile and a quarter will suit. She won on debut over 7 furlongs, and she's not been disgraced in some competitive Group 3 listed races this season, and I think she could be overpriced. So she might be one each way, but Alan Sower for Henry Candy will be the selection.
Okay, there we go. James's thoughts then in that 3:25 at Newbury. We'll stay at Newbury for the second race on today's podcast. This one comes up at 4 o'clock. We've got a mile handicap with 9 of them down to go to post for this one. Who's on the shortlist?
Yeah, 9 runners, and one of my old favourites actually heads to 8. It's Mr. Music Master. He's 6 years old now, but actually won a couple of races on him as a two-year-old and was third at the Ebor meeting. Ron Hodges has done a really good job with the Amadeus Wolf Gelding. He's won this season already. And Paul Nichols' daughter, Megan, takes off a useful £7 off his back. He's got top weight rated 80. And he's certainly going to be dangerous. Although on a straight track, it can be quite hard to make all. And that's how he tends to be ridden. So it might not be easy from the front, but it doesn't look to be a very competitive 10 grand race. I've certainly seen much stronger races than that, and Mr. Music Master is certainly going to be one to beat. Lady Sylvia was in good form at the back end of 2014, winning at Salisbury and Kempton. A little bit disappointing on her return, only finishing fifth at Bath, but that wasn't a bad effort and dropped a pound. It's just whether she can be competitive off a mark that's £9 higher than her last success. Berkeley Vale won the last time out, and the eye-catching thing about him is the booking of Orion Moore, which certainly will be a big help. And if Berkeley Vale can transfer or weather form onto turf, Berkeley Vale is one to beat. So in that race, Berkeley Vale will be the selection, with Mr. Music Master under the £7 claimer. Megan Nichols probably the one to follow him home.
Okay, then Berkeley Vale for James in that 4 o'clock at Newbury. We'll go to Nottingham then for the next race on today's podcast. This one comes up at 3:40. It's a 6 furlong handicap here. Just the 7 of them go to post, so we lose that third place for the each way terms. But who did you like?
Yeah, shame there's only 7 runners, which is always frustrating from an each way perspective. But Yao is obviously a very decent horse for Colbrook and won last time out only by neck, beating Signor Piccolo at Pontefract. But that was a competitive 9-runner handicap worth 10 grand and earlier being third to outdo at Ponty. So that's really, really good form. Hopefully be just as effective back on a straight track. He's shown his liking for the turning tracks there. But he's probably one that's in the best form recently. Grebe is interesting at the top of the weights. Hasn't run for 292 days, but generally been running in some very competitive handicaps. He won this time last year at Doncaster, beating Ireland Alley in an 8 grand race, and hasn't been disgraced in some competitive contests since. Interesting that Sheikh Hanuman Maktoum keeps him in training, because obviously he's only rated 89, and generally, unless they're going to be group horses, Sheikh Hanuman doesn't keep him in training as 4-year-olds. So Charlie Hills must expect further improvement in a race which perhaps lacks a little bit of strength and depth. Grebe could be the interesting one on his return. Keep a good eye out on the market. If he's well backed, that'd be a real positive, as I think he could be a decent type. He ran well on his seasonal return last year, finishing third to Danzino in a competitive handicap at Newmarket, so he goes well fresh, and he will be the one for me in a tricky enough 7-runner handicap, with each way betting a little bit limited due to the 7 runners. I'll probably just stick Grebe to win, but follow the market closely in the morning.
Okay, then Grebe for James in that one, then in the silks of Sheikh Hamdan. We'll move then to the final race on our podcast. This one comes up from Haydock. It's the 8, it's their 850, 7 furlong handicap for us. We've got the dead 8 here, James, so a different shape to the last race.
Yeah, at least we've got the first 3 each way in this one. This is actually competitive, and it's tricky because top weight McCreary could be anything. He won his only start 264 days ago at Newbury on soft ground, beating Marrakeb by a neck. RPR only went 80, and he was 14 to 1 on that occasion, but handicap has said we'll give you a rating of 85. A shame he's not been seen out this season, so we can kind of get a guide as to what kind of level he's able to run to, but he could be anything. Roger Charlton knows the time of day with his horses, and interesting to see he's straight back in a handicap. And in a race where nothing else is unexposed, he does stand out. Captain Revelation is interesting because his weather form actually gives him a pretty good chance, but he's only run on turf this year. It was disappointing. He was well beaten at Chester. He's been placed at Wolverhampton and Kelmsford City on his recent runs on near weather, so it's just a concern whether he's as effective on the turf. Star of the Stage is another one that's been running well on near weather in the winter. This one actually makes its turf debut for Richard Fahey after a short break, and his good run to Harry Hurricane ended his all-weather campaign in February. It was a good effort, but nothing really stands out in this race, so I'm afraid I'm going to stick with McCreary for George Baker and Roger Charlton. Hopefully 85's a reasonably decent mark. Again, I think the market's going to be key. Keep an eye on the market in the mornings, because this horse, like I say, hasn't run for 264 days, and that's going to be key if he's fit enough to do himself justice, because ultimately nothing else really stands out as an obvious alternative, and it's a pretty competitive race if you exclude him. So hopefully McCreary can get the job done.
Okay, and the top weight McCreary getting the nod for James then in that 8:50 at Haydock. If you could just spin us through, please, your selections one more time for Thursday's action.
Yeah, in the 3:25, the 1.25 listed race, I've gone for Alon Sower, a very decent filly at the start of last year for Henry Cowan. He didn't progress quite as expected, but hopefully she's strength enough as a 3-year-old and can win what looks to be a slightly modest listed race, especially for the grade, but it's competitive enough. The 4 o'clock, I have gone for Berkeley Vale for Ryan Moore and Roger Teal to team up with Mr. Music Master as the alternative. In 3:40 at Nottingham, I've gone for Grebe, another one that's making its reappearance after 200 plus days off a track. Hopefully he'll be good enough to get a job done for Charlie Hills. And then finally, McCreary, 1 from 1 as a 2-year-old. Hopefully he can make a winning 3-year-old debut in the 8:50 at Haydock.
Okay, thank you very much. There we are, James's selections for the best of the racing on Thursday. And you'll hear every race live from 1:50 p.m. with William Hill Racing Radio. Sean Quinn, Chris Pimlott and Paddy Aspel in the studio. I'll be bringing you all of the action from Newbury, Nottingham and Worcester in the afternoon. Haydock, Utoxeter and Leopardstown in the evening. So do join us on William Hill Racing Radio for all of that. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today, James. Hope you enjoy the action on Thursday.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.